Okay. Hey.
Catch a vibe. We're gonna get you to the other side. Going you way back to the time. Reminisce and relax your mind. And catch a vibe.
Catch a vibe like a throwback. You with the bridge, about to turn it up. Picture perfect, no Kodak. And ain't no holdbacks. We getting real, getting raunchy. We bridge millennials, baby. We keep it saucy. Yo, 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 what's up, homies at home? Welcome back to The Bridge. If you're new here, The Bridge Millennial Podcast is a shared perspective of the Bridge Millennial generation on culture, media, mental health, and society. We are happy to be here. We are your co-hosts. My name is Rob.
My name is Shannon. What's up, y'all? We missed you.
Yes, yes, yes. How have you been, Shannon? How was your June?
June was actually insane, you know, and I might have said this before, but they say your birthday month, your solar return has just a way of turning everything on its head, and it has a way of making you look at your life and your purpose and everything that you're doing. It's been a month full of purging. I can definitely say that I have purged a couple relationships. I've purged some things that don't service me anymore, and I'm feeling really good going into 34. And I'm all about the journey right now. So every day is different, but today was definitely self-care Sunday, and I'm ready to take on the rest of the year. How about you, Rob?
It was good. I was a little bit fatigued. I did a lot of It was a busy influencer month for me. I did so much, and I'm just so glad to come. It was a blessing, but I'm so glad to be over it. I was so like busy that yesterday I was scrolling on my page, and I came across a video, and I was like, that guy looks like me. And so I pressed play. I was like, that sounds like me. Who the fuck is that? Lo and behold, it was an interview that I did with a platform. I totally forgot about it, and they just posted the clip. So it just has been really fast, if anything, for me. But I will say that I'm blessed, and so I'm kind of glad to be transitioned out of it and just, you know, being into the summer proper phase, you know.
I enjoy the ebbs and flows of the year, though, because sometimes you need a break. Some months are entirely crazy. Yes. Like, I moved this month, so that on the first of the month, so that started off the month kind of on a crazy note. But I like when things kind of slow down. It gives you a little bit more time for yourself, because living perpetually in that state of like that heightened, that busy state, it makes you really exhausted. You know, once you actually stop going, you're like, oh shit, I'm extremely tired. And there have been moments where I'm like, why am I so tired? You know, you're questioning why you're so tired, and you're not even taking into consideration, you know, your busy schedule, the month that you've had, how many times you've been able to take a nap or been able to rest.
How many transitions, like jumping in and out of gears. And yeah, so that's kind of this been my entire month of June, but I'm glad to kind of have taken advantage of those opportunities, but being able to really move on and just kind of chill out, you know, and relax. That's what I'm looking forward to. So shout out to July. Shout out to 4th of July for everybody that celebrated and all that good stuff.
And if you don't, you know, that's okay. Just celebrate being off of work, because, you know, we really don't, you know, if you Black and you feel like Independence Day is not your thing, that's okay. You take the day off and you rest, because you deserve that as well. And that's what I'll be doing on.
You would have, by the time this episode airs, you would have already done it.
Or not done anything. So I'm right. Just gonna, right. Or not done it. But I love being, we're always gonna celebrate being off of work. Okay. We love the national holidays. Only because for real, I kind of don't really stand with any of them, if you want to be honest, but I do, you know, feel like we all collectively need a reset and time off. Well, ooh, there's not a, there's a couple of MLK Day. You know, that's my boy. You know, we all stand for
get
MLK.
Into it, get
MLK
into
Day,
it,
Juneteenth. Into it. Juneteenth, the newest holiday. We absolutely love that. Well, the newest recognized national holiday. And it felt so good not to go to work on Juneteenth. I'm going to tell you, it felt different. So definitely going to be an advocate for the collective taking a rest, a reset, and a break. I feel like that is necessary and needed. So make sure y'all do that.
Okay. Heard it, heard it, heard it. Well, Shannon, I don't know about you, but I'm hype about today's show. You gave me very little detail about what we're talking about. So I'm like in suspense because you told me what the topic was. And I'm like, she about to open a can of worms. So please take us into spin the block so that I can actually exhale. Because I've been waiting to exhale.
You know, I love a little bit of mystery. Rob be like, all right, can you elaborate on
I fucking, y'all, I hate surprises. The reason why is because I'm on the edge of my seat until it happens. I hate it. I'm so structured and so organized. But today's topic definitely lends for mystery in general, regardless of how much information I have about it. So I am genuinely happy and excited to see where we dive into.
All right, let's get into Spin the Block without further ado. So today for Spin the Block, I want to talk about conspiracies, and I want to kind of assess our journey with conspiracies, because since I was a little girl, there have been certain conspiracies that people, you know, people in the community would say. Like, I know for a long time, the Black community just knew Tupac was not dead. And that was like, like, and Rob is smiling because I already know that you know. That was one of the ones when I was a little girl, like, I would be always looking over my shoulder. People was like, oh yeah, I saw Tupac at the skating rink in Atlanta. Like, literally, people was really on that one. And so I've always had that curiosity about conspiracy. And I've always told that line. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, or, you know, some people say like a factologist, you know, they're given facts with no real background to that. But I always just kind of feel like there's a lot that our government is not telling us. And for that simple fact that I know to be true, conspiracies to me have always been very intriguing. And another thing that sparked this is I found through a friend, this YouTube page, this YouTuber, he's so amazing. He has a page called The Y Files, and he actually debunks a lot of conspiracy theories, and he goes into detail. I mean, this man is amazing. So if you all have an opportunity, especially if you like YouTube, look up The Y Files, because this guy kind of got it started for me. And then I saw this movie that recently came out. It's called Reality Winner. Okay. Reality is a true story. Reality Winner
is
a true story.
Did you say Reality Winner or Reality Winter? Like the
winner, like Reality Winner. Okay. So Reality Winner is the name of an actual person. And this was an interesting movie also because they used the exact audio from the real event. So there was nothing that was added in the script. Everything came from this audio from the FBI. So Reality is a girl who, or a woman, a young woman who ended up becoming a whistleblower for the fact that Trump rigged the election through this Russian technology and these Russians. And at first it was kind of like a rumor. If you remember when it first came out, it was a rumor. And then she actually had security clearance because she was with the NSA, and she found out that this actually happened to be true. And so she felt like the American people had a right to know that this was true. So she sent it to a whistleblower website, and she got arrested. The FBI came for her and she got arrested. So if you...
I'm sorry, run that back, Turbo. They have a whistleblower website. That sounds very counterproductive. Like,
well, it's a website that she kind of describes, like a online magazine that she subscribed to that kind of has that type of content where it's like their sources are anonymous, but they have a lot of people who, a lot of these people do have government clearance who,
gotcha,
who reveal things that the government doesn't want us to know. So that got me to thinking, okay, as a child, Rob, I'm going to ask you, what are some of the conspiracy theories that you either heard of, believed in, or thought were ridiculous? Okay. And I also want to talk about some conspiracy theories that actually happened to be true and that were proven to be true a little bit later, because this can definitely go on and on, like into a wormhole. But first, I want to talk about how you feel about conspiracy theories and where you kind of stand on that topic.
Okay. The first time I ever heard of conspiracy theories I was really young, and I remember crying. I couldn't sleep. I was having nightmares. It was like, there was this whole big thing about the Illuminati and the New World Order having something to do with like the pyramid or the eye of some type of god or something like that.
The eye of Horus, yep.
Something like that on the back of a dollar. It was very weird, but as all I heard as a kid was that the world is ending and we're all gonna die. That was it. And yeah, aside from that, I mean, I've always been a really practical kid. Like, I've always been really like logical about stuff, so I didn't get wrapped up too much in conspiracy theories. But what I will say is that there were some things that I personally felt were conspiracies that people just understood to be the case, and I feel like I was right, because now in today's world where people are quote unquote waking up, there's a lot of like,
I'm gonna need you to elaborate. It's my turn to ask you to elaborate.
Just a little bit. I don't want to offend nobody. Shit, I don't want to, but
let's get into it. Give me one thing that you felt was a conspiracy.
Religion.
I feel you. Please, hold on. Wait. I feel you on that, but you need to let the people know, because I'm actually on the same page as you, but you need to let the people know what you mean by that, because you're not offending me.
I know, no. I'm just thinking about our listeners, and I don't want to, I'm trying to think of like how to say it in a way that, I'll tell you how it came about. So when I was younger, I went to Catholic school. And the Bible was a class. We had religion class. We had to go to religious studies for 5 hours every Wednesday at a church. Like, it was very heavy in terms of the technical details and knowing every letter of the Bible. It was like, pretty much like a cult. It felt like a cult. And so through that, I had questions. And my first question when I was in, what was that? I want to say like third-ish, fourth. Oh, I fucking hated that teacher. Yeah, fourth grade. We were going into the detailed, we were just going into details about the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus. And so I asked, and oh my God, listen, anybody's listening, please don't let this discourage you from your faith or anything. This is really just my own particular journey. And I don't think that it's necessarily universal to everybody, but this is where it sparked me to question a little bit. So on the cross, the crucifixion, because I guess it's a crucifixion rather than a cross, behind the head of Jesus, there's this like note, and it looks like T-R-I-N-I or something like that. And I've always noticed it's not English. It's like probably like Roman or something like that. I don't know that. Maybe no, it's not Arabic, but I whatever think it's the case Latin. Is, it was. I think it's
Latin.
I think it's Latin too. Mm-hmm. So I saw it there, and I always wanted to know what is that? Like, what does that say? And so I would be asking my teachers. Nobody knows. Everyone's like, "Oh, I never thought about that." And I'm just like, "You never thought about that?" So we went to church, and whoever was the religious leader at the time, I asked, and he was like, I don't know, but I will research it and I'll tell you. So basically, come to find out, that was a note that was basically a mockery from the government at the time, saying like, basically like, this is your king, like behold your king or whatever. And so that started a whole separate questioning about the historical context of Christianity for me, because I was never taught it from a social studies type of perspective. I was always taught it through like this divine intervention type of religious army kind of thing. And so I held on to that. And as I got into high school, which I went to public school for high school, I started learning actual like about a lot of different types of religions and a different history around that time, and understanding the role of government in religion and how religion has been historically used as a form of colonization, and just being curious as to how like different cultures around the world gained access to Catholicism and Christianity, and how it was like basically a forced concept. And through that rabbit hole, dove into why economics and religion is tied together in a lot of governments. And so, yeah. And now, I've always felt like something wasn't right. Like, I was like, something's not right about this. And now in 2023, 2024, people are being woke and like, oh, thinking about their own actual heritage, thinking about their own bloodline in regards to finding faith, thinking about spirituality beyond religion. And I'm just sitting here like, I got detention for that, Shannon. Like, I got detention. That was the only time in my life I got detention. I got in so much fucking trouble by that fucking teacher. And it was just because I was asking questions.
And that's what I was going to say to y'all, you know, if anything, religion aside, because this might be pissing some people off and they like, oh yeah,
nah, I know, that's why I didn't want to say,
but at the same time, right. But at the same time, some of y'all are so intelligent, but when it comes to religion, y'all, it's like y'all turn it off, because the issue is that anything, person, group, or anything like that discourages you from asking questions is not something that you want to be a part of.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's kind of like, you know, my journey was a little bit different, because I actually went to a Christian school growing up. I grew up, you know, going to church every Sunday. So it was the same as yours, as it pertains to going to a Christian school, you know, hearing these stories from a Christian and religious perspective. But I think the moment that I started to ask questions was the moment that I started to kind of be shunned by the religious community. And I found that to be very strange, because I'm an inquisitive person and I'm a Gemini. So as a Gemini, you're not going to stop me from asking questions, right? And some things just don't add up. So you trying to tell me that I'm not allowed to ask you why this and this doesn't make sense? So that's the whole thing. It's like, you gotta start waking up, people. There's a reason why they don't want you to ask questions, because you're gonna start finding out things that don't connect and things that don't add up.
Yeah, and I will say that I think most people will agree that there's a difference between how Christianity is practiced versus how Catholicism is practiced, even though they're both Abrahamic religions. So I don't know, like, I don't know that my perspective would have been different if I was just ushered into the faith through like a more Black-centered Christian understanding. But what I will say is that the question, when questions are being shunned and exiled and not welcome, that's usually the mark of some shit going on. Like, if you think about all the conspiracy theories, this is why whistleblowers are a thing in the first place, because it's not welcome to question certain systems when they're designed to map out your whole entire train of thought and navigate you away from certain things. So
this lady literally went to jail for mailing a letter. She went to jail for mailing a letter with information in it that she felt like the American people needed to know. You know what I mean? So, I mean, it's something to think about. It's something to think about.
Yeah. So that's my background. So I've always had like my own little, like, I guess my own little conspiracy theories, but it always came out of questioning things that just didn't add up. And people kind of shying away from providing more information, that kind of triggered me to say, okay, well, there must be something here. But that was kind of like the biggest one. Obviously, you hear about the stuff that I heard about at a young age. That shit was really fucking true. Like censorship, like 9/11, like anything that I heard about that was a conspiracy theory, it later on came to light that there was facts behind it. So
yeah,
I don't know that I've ever heard like a full on like conspiracy theory. The most recent one probably would be like there's some type of sex cult in hip hop or something. And I guess that could be a conspiracy theory, because I don't know that there's anything actually to that. And I don't know that there's any way to actually prove that, but that would probably be it. Most of my conspiracy theories revolve around government, censorship, mm-hmm. colonization, and religion.
I feel like there are grains of truth in a lot of conspiracy theories. I think that in an attempt to prove them right, I feel like some people, you know, are looking for clues that are sometimes not there. But I do feel like it's important to open up your eyes and realize that knowledge is power. And when people try to take knowledge away from you, they're taking away your power. They're making you significantly less able to think for yourself, like Rob said. So what I want to get into is, because it's all about timing, there are, you know, former conspiracy theories that were proven to be true, that things that we now know as just true. So in maybe 50 to 100 years, a lot of the things that are swimming around as conspiracy theories now might be debunked in that time. So I want to just go through like a couple of things that, you know, in the early 1900s were conspiracy theories that turned out to be true. And a lot of these things are, you know, orchestrated by the government. So we're going to talk about the Dead Baby Project. Have you ever heard of the Dead Baby Project? It sounds so crazy.
I have not. Is that the same thing with the people living under, like the society underground thing?
No. So this is something a little bit different. So when the first atomic bomb was set off, you know, Hiroshima, Iwo Jima, there was a conspiracy theory that came out basically saying that like, the United States government was stealing these dead bodies. Okay. And they were stealing these dead bodies.
Oh, wait, why this episode is giving Halloween? Like, this is giving Halloween special.
It's getting kind of scary a little bit, ain't it? But I mean, this is real life. This is real life. So the conspiracy theory was that they were stealing these dead bodies to do radioactive testing. Because, of course, this is the first atomic bomb to go off. So, I mean, chances are they want to see the effects of radioactive particles on the body. This ended up being true. The government was stealing parts of dead bodies, not whole dead bodies, but they needed young tissue. So they recruited a worldwide network of agents to find recently deceased babies and children in that area to take samples and even limbs from them. Okay. Each of these limbs, all of these samples were collected without the notification or permission of more than 1,500 grieving families. Okay. So this ended up being true and boom, the government was behind it. Okay. Here's another one. This one was actually a little bit more recent. Okay. Have you ever heard of the Bayer conspiracy? This ended up being hella true and it's actually extremely sad. So Bayer is the company that makes a lot of the medicine. So they would make like headache medicine and they would make like, you know, specialized medicine for hemophiliacs. Well, it turns out that one of their blood products, and I believe this was in the late 70s to early 80s, one of their blood products entitled Factor 8 and Factor 9, they were anti-hemophiliac medicines. It was called AHF. They were contaminated with HIV. And the financial investment for this product was so large that it was considered too high to destroy the inventory. So they misrepresented the results of their research and they sold the contaminated AHF to overseas markets in Asia and Latin America without the precaution of heat treating the product recommended for eliminating the risk. So as a consequence, hemophiliacs who infused the HIV contaminated factor 8 and 9, that's what it's called, factor 8 and 9, the AHF, they tested positive for HIV and developed AIDS. And that is true. That really happened. Okay. So look, keep your eyes open, people. The last one I have actually,
That's crazy,
but it's true. And that's actually one of the ones that, I got on the Y Files and I kind of looked up a little bit
that's
more
about it.
That's
such a classic. That's such a classic American government thing to do though.
Mm-hmm. We fucked up. We like fucked up.
It's a Tuskegee experiment.
Baby.
Same shit.
Tuskegee experiment. They told these men that they were testing for something totally different. They gave these men syphilis. We already know about the Tuskegee, incident. Now, a lot of these have the government behind it or big pharma or something like that. Okay. And one of these was like a huge one. So during Prohibition, which is in the 1920s and the 1930s, the government poisoned the alcohol to keep people from drinking it. Okay. This actually ended up being true. And they had been mixing like these lethal products in the alcohol for years before the Prohibition. But between 1926 and 1933, the federal government pushed manufacturers to use stronger poisons to discourage bootleggers from turning the alcohol into moonshine. Okay. That didn't stop them from doing it. And more than 10,000 Americans have been killed by tainted alcohol. So I really believe that alcohol poisoning, that whole thing and that idea of alcohol poisoning probably came from that era because there was actual poison in the alcohol. Okay. That's wild, but the government will do some crazy ass shit. Please do not think that they will not. All right. And then the government was testing LSD and hallucinogenic drugs on Americans in a top secret experiment on behavior modification. Now, this was called MK Ultra, and this was a real program, a real project. Now, the CIA started by using volunteers, right? The novelist Ken Casey was one notable subject, but the program head soon began dosing people without their knowledge. And so MK Ultra left many victims permanently mentally disabled. Okay. So this is something that, you know, just wasn't quite right. You know, they let a little bit of information forward and then they kept a lot of it back. Okay.
I'm moving. I'm fucking leaving.
That's what I'm saying. Now, this next one isn't government, isn't really government affiliated, and it's not American, but this is something that I kind of got into recently just because, like, okay, so have you heard this theory now that's out here that Britney Spears is actually dead? Have you heard that? Because a lot of her videos, if you look at her videos that she posts online, mind you, the comments have been turned off for months. A lot of people are noticing several things. She's dancing in a house. It actually turns out to be a green screen because she moves her hand a little bit and the background would kind of glitch a little bit. There was one video that I actually saw where her eyes, she like waved her hands in front of her face. Because you know what happens when you have a filter? It's like, it's kind of funky. And if you do, like, if you move it a certain way, the filter will drop off. One, she was dancing. She waved her hands in front of her face and her eyes turned into somebody's totally different eyes. And it actually looked like her young sister's eyes, to be honest with you. There was another picture that I just saw recently where she's like on vacation and it's like photoshopped. Her foot is not touching the ground. Like, it's the strangest thing. So a lot of people feel like, oh my gosh, she actually died or something happened to her. And there are people pretending to be her. Either, now I don't know if she's gone, but I do know that these videos and photos are extremely doctored and we're all trying to figure out why. So this led me to the Paul McCartney conspiracy. Now I know you done heard this one. This is the last one I got. Okay. He said no. Okay. So Paul McCartney, the famous Beatle. Okay. According to the theory or rumor. Now, when I looked into this, y'all, I started to believe it more and more. I'm not going to lie to you. But according to them, McCartney died in a car crash. And to spare the public from grief, the surviving Beatles, aided by Britain's MI5, replaced him with a McCartney lookalike, subsequently communicating this secret through subtle details of their album. So if you kind of decide that you want to look at this further, you can look up kind of the different things that you've heard them say, because there are some things on the album. They'll say like Paul's dead or something like in the background, like something crazy. Like there are some clues. And that's why I was like, oh, is this true? It says proponents perceived clues among elements of Beatles songs and cover artwork. Clue hunting provided infectious, and by October 1969 had become an international phenomenon. So this is actually something that has been sustained since the late 60s, and people still believe this. Okay, people are still doing this. Now, rumors declined after Life magazine published an interview with McCartney in November 1969, but there's like, just like they said, Tupac was alive. It was definitely giving. Paul McCartney was actually replaced by a doppelganger. And that was crazy to me. So if y'all are interested in any of these, you can definitely look them up. I got a lot of these from an article on readersdigest.com. Okay. So just make sure you do your research. Some of these things, they got a little meat to them. So I found that interesting, and that was actually pretty fun. So thanks for listening to my little conspiracies corner. Okay. And just remember, you all, it's really important for you to do your own research. Don't just believe everything people tell you. Okay.
If nothing else you take from, if you take nothing else, think for yourself. I just did a whole episode and released it on Juneteenth about this. Like, you have to think for yourself. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't be afraid to do your own research. Look into things. Don't just believe things because you're told them. Now, does that mean that all of the conspiracies mentioned today are true or false? It don't mean that, but what it does mean is that there are questions beyond what you see, and it's worth asking. If you're going to believe in something that's false, actually believe in it because you believe in it, not because you were told to. And I'm just going to leave that right there.
And I am in agreement. Absolutely. And yeah, I'm going to go ahead and throw it to Rob with our mental health segment for today. What you got for us, Rob?
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. All I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
So for mental health, our mental health session today, we're actually going to go through some deception training.
Ooh.
So we're going to go through some deception training. So one of my favorite specialties in college was paralinguistics, and it's basically behavior science about deception, learning body language, verbal cues, and things like that. What a lot of people don't realize is that lying is actually more natural than telling the truth. Lying is a survival mechanism, it's preservation. And outside of like actual words, your body is kind of trained to deceive for the sake of your survival. Think about camouflage in other animals and stuff like that. It's really instinctive to lie, to divert attention, for prey-predator relationships. It's really important to lie. So the truth is that according to a study found at the University of Massachusetts, 60% of people can't go 10 minutes without lying. And an estimated 11 lies per week are told by each American, with the motivating factors being humor, personal gain, self-preservation, avoidance, protecting other people's feelings, making a good impression. Think about them job interviews, you know? And then there's like 5% of people that just lie for no fucking reason. It's fucking weird. But the number one lie told is I'm fine, followed by the number two lie being I love you. So I thought that it would be kind of cool to talk to you guys and teach you a little bit about lie detection based on the latest research in microexpressions and paralinguistics. Now, I'm going to give you a warning. Knowing this information I'm about to give you is going to change the way that you interact with people, change the way that you look at people. It's going to make you different, okay? I'm not trying to robify anybody, but I am the way I am because of a reason. But it's important to remember that lying is way more layered. It's like, it's more important to understand why someone is not being honest than just kind of pointing out the fact that they're not honest, because the motivating factor behind lying is way more important than a lie itself. So with the average person telling a lie ranging from as early as like age two, before we can talk, babies learn how to be deceptive, like the cries, thinking about learning how to cry when they want something. They know that if they cry, they're going to get your attention, or faking certain emotions. Babies learn how to do that. And by the age of four, we learn to lie convincingly. So that would be, if you break down the numbers, I want to say about two lies per day. And it's actually part of everyday culture. So I wanted to first, the way that I'm going to teach you guys how to, the basics of deception training. I want to show you guys kind of like the intro level of detecting deception. And I'm going to start that out with a true false. I got a couple of statements, and Shannon, I'm going to ask you to determine whether these things are true or false. You ready?
I was born ready.
Like fish and spaghetti?
Absolutely.
Okay,
not.
So when I come to DC, I'm going to make you the mean, like, you eat salmon? No, you don't eat
actually,
salmon.
Actually, I'm a vegan and I don't eat tomato sauce, so you can't even, no thank you.
I can't make you fish, I guess. All right. So the first statement is a person will avoid eye contact when lying. Is that true or false?
I'm going to say, I mean, my instincts would be that it is true, but sometimes I feel like people try to maintain eye contact because that is a rumor that goes, that's out there. So I'm going to say false.
False is correct. Liars actually display an unnatural amount of eye contact, mainly because they need to know if the person they're lying to is actually believing the lies and if they need to shift or modify. So a part of lying is reading the body language of the person you're lying to. Number two, psychopaths and sociopaths are better at lying. True or false?
I feel like psychopaths and sociopaths are two different things. Two different things. So I don't know if I can lump them together, but I'm going to say no, because they generally don't pick up social cues, I feel like, as well sometimes. So I'm going to say false.
False is correct. It is a rumor that psychopaths and sociopaths are better at lying. They're not better at lying. They're equally as bad as everyone else. They're just more charming. And because they're more charming and able to charm people over, it makes people want to believe their lies more. Next one, people look up and to the left when they're trying to recall a memory. True or false?
I feel like that's true.
That is correct.
Because I literally just did it. I just did it trying to figure out, like, do I know this already? So yes.
Yes, that is true. People typically look up to the left, sometimes to the right, but it has a lot to do with your executive brain functioning and which parts of your brain is being fired off when trying to establish and recall a memory. Number four, people look down and away as a genuine sign of shame.
I'm going to say true.
That is true. And I hope that as we're going through this, you guys are starting to pick up on a pattern. But yes, down and away is a sign of shame. Number five, asymmetrical face expressions are potential indicators that a person is faking an emotion. True or false?
Faking an emotion? I'm going to say false.
Okay, that one is true. A vast majority of your micro expressions and your emotions have to do with so many different muscles in your face. It is almost impossible to activate them at will, especially activate all of them at will. Most often surprise. Surprise looks very different from someone that is actually surprised versus not surprised. And the main difference is that there's asymmetry in the face muscles. Pride, feeling proud of someone is the same. Those are like the hardest ones to really, those are the easiest ones to detect. So number six, women are better liars than men. True or false?
I'm going to say that this is true. I'm going to say this is true.
Okay. This is false. In fact, the data suggests that men think they're better liars than women, but one study showed that men were twice more likely to consider themselves expert liars. But the truth is that men and women are equally bad liars. It's just that men are a little bit better at picking out people who will believe their lies. So they tend to find people to lie to that are more gullible or more susceptible to their influence.
Absolutely. But don't bring that shit over here. Cause I'm not the one.
Neither.
I'm not the one, y'all. I'm really not the one.
So a pattern that you might notice is that this emotions traditionally most genuinely reflect our emotions as children, and they are pretty universal. Any age, any culture, any place in the world, we all display the same language when it comes to emotions. It's just that we get better at concealing, or we think we get better at concealing our emotion. And so when you are, or when someone is going through deception training, they're taught to not necessarily always look for certain indicators that a person is lying, but indicators that a person is not being truthful. So what that would mean is that if you're telling a story that you're saying you're feeling shameful about, but you're not delivering the expression of shame, that could indicate a lie. If you're telling me that you're remembering, if you said, oh, this is what I did, and I'm asking you to tell me what you did, and you're not recalling a memory, that could be indicator of a lie. If you are displaying the micro expression of happiness while telling a story of something you should feel guilty about, that would be indication of a lie. So what you really want to do is pay attention to what someone is not saying. Pay attention to the emotion that's not coming across. And when those two things don't line up, they're typically signs of deception. And I remember I was in, when I started studying this, I was in a relationship. And me and this girl, we would constantly just be like reading each other, and it was not healthy at all. And then I got to work and I found myself getting into an argument with someone who wasn't in an active argument with me. And I had to pull myself back because I'm like reading her and I'm like, hold on, no, but you're expressing this and that means that you're feeling this and you actually think that I did something. It just turned into a whole thing, and I actually took a step back from psychology for a good year because of that, because it was a little bit overwhelming. But I think the most important thing to secure that human element when thinking about deception is to understand that you are deceptive as well. And you have a right to your privacy to be able to disclose what you want to disclose to the world without someone necessarily prying for you to disclose more. So going back to what I said earlier, it's more important to investigate the reasons why someone is lying rather than the fact that they're just lying. But that is your deception training for today.
I absolutely love stuff like this because I always get into something like this where there's like a controversial interview, like the R. Kelly and Gayle interview, or the interview with what's our man's name? The one who orchestrated that, those people to beat him up with those Africans with that MAGA hat.
Oh, we not bringing that up.
Because we talked about this on the first season, but on the first season, we didn't. Jesse Smollett, who just had a birthday, by the way. So happy birthday, Jesse. You know, anytime something like that happens, I always try to use like the little bit that I've learned from you and from YouTube videos.
That's where a lot of the deception science comes from, is they'll show you clips of like politicians and interviews and stuff like that. And that's essentially what homework typically looks like. I had a textbook full of like snapshots of different people's face expressions, different comic face expressions and things like that. And we would just kind of practice like identifying that and stuff like that. So that stuff is really, 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 really cool. But yeah. That is your mental health session for today. Much appreciated, y'all.
Thank you for that, Rob. And it doesn't end there. You all can always do some research. There are plenty outlets and avenues for you to look through this further. If you're like me, you're going to go to YouTube University where you can learn a little bit more, and they'll actually show you interviews and they'll show you examples of famous interviews where people have displayed some of these facial expressions and different stuff like that. So anyway, thank you for that, Rob. I'm going to swing it to the red light district, where we are going to debunk some sex myths. So let's get into it.
I want to be touched and feel it so much, because everybody needs some good.
So for the red light district today, we are going to go into sex myths debunked. Okay. Now, a lot of these things I was already aware of, but as I matriculate further into my adulthood, I realize how many people really are uneducated when it comes to sex, and how we're perpetuating a lot of these like old wives' tales and like different things. Like for instance, I'm going to start with one that I thought of when I think of Nick Cannon. Okay. So Nick Cannon came out, right? Rob was like, where is this going? So this might've been a couple years ago, or maybe a year ago. Right. Exactly. Nick Cannon can't keep up with his own kids. Came out a year or so ago, and he was on a podcast, and he said something like, most females don't know how to properly wash themselves, or something like most females don't know much about genital hygiene, and most of them struggle with that. That's what he said. Now, I thought it was very interesting that he was saying that, and it just kind of lent that information to me that he was very uneducated about the women's bodies who he was entering. Okay. So one of the sex myths,
or he just was messing with a series of women who had poor hygiene. But what does that have to do with most women?
Well, this is what I'll say. Okay. Because as we know, okay, Nick Cannon loves to shoot up the club. Okay. More often than not. And one of the sex myths that I want to debunk is a lot of people talk about the female environment being fishy and having an odorous smell at times. Okay. But what a lot of people don't realize is this has little to do with hygiene and more to do with bacteria of the person that you're sleeping with. So a lot of people don't realize that many times when women develop bacterial infections, you will get this fishy odor, but a lot of it deals with the hygiene of the person that they're sleeping with. And a lot of times that person may be male, and that can be an issue. So not only is male hygiene as important as female hygiene, but male and female genitalia kind of, it mismatches us in a way where our environment needs to be acidic and male environment needs to be basic. So those are two opposing things, right? So a lot of times if you're shooting up the club constantly in women, you're causing bacterial infections. So one of the things that I do want to make sure that you all know is if you are not, you know, using condoms, or if you're trying to get somebody pregnant, or if you're not trying to get somebody pregnant, but you are using condoms as a male, you must know that when you shoot up the club, it can definitely cause a bacterial infection in a woman, which can then cause a fishy odor. And I thought it was very interesting, just because I feel like a lot of men, especially a lot of heterosexual men, they don't know that. And that their hygiene has a direct effect on the hygiene of the people that they're sleeping with. STIs aside, we're not even talking about STIs. We're just talking about regular bacteria. So the soaps that you use, using soaps that are unscented, making sure that you're using antibacterial soap, and also making sure you're not using things like baby powder. All right. Talcum is very, very bad for the environment. Powder is very bad for female environments because the kitty is self-cleaning. Okay. So I'm going to leave it right there and just let you all know, do your research before you say somebody has bad hygiene. It might just be you, fellas. All right. So next out there. All right, we have sex burns a lot of calories. So most people think that sex burns a lot of calories. They're like, oh yeah, I'm getting some exercise. Actually, it really doesn't burn a lot of calories. It can, depending on the kind of sex that you're having.
I just want to know who these people are, because this list is going nuts right now. Like, oh my God. Who are these people that believe this? Who are these people? I need a
minute. You would be who very are these people
talking about the fact of I've thankfully never heard a man make a statement like most women in regards to their body and their hygiene.
Baby,
like
that was ridiculous. That was wild.
That's wild. But I wasn't surprised at that, because Nick Cannon also just the other day said that he's interested in getting a degree in child psychology because of, you know, whatever. But this one here, who told them that you just fucking with a Fitbit on? Like, what? Who told you that?
And here's the thing. When I said in the beginning, I said, now, I don't think any of these things, but you would really be surprised how many people are uneducated about a lot of things. Like, for instance, like the whole baby powder situation. I know people still putting baby powder on their dick. Okay. So, and that isn't right, huh? But literally, like, these are things that are still happening and people have no idea they're causing trouble.
You mean putting baby powder on the dick?
Not of a baby.
Intercourse,
just as a regular, like, hygienic thing.
Just, oh, like,
yeah, actually,
I guess if you count the balls and other areas. That I can see.
Okay. Yeah, because they sweat, but on your actual, you know, on your actual penis,
baby powder there. Like, why would you would even be
surprised? I do have knowledge of somebody who was doing that, and I was very shocked to find that out because I felt like, okay, this is something that you have to know is not okay. But it's crazy. Moving forward, and see, this is why. This is crazy. This is why I'm saying these things, because you just never know.
This whole episode is going to have to go behind a paywall. This is going to have to be bonus content. We didn't talk about people's like powder penises. We didn't talk about people's religions. They're going to be mad at us. I just hope we don't get canceled.
Well, it's cancel us, honey. Apparently, if you get canceled, you can always come back. So it's all good. Like, for real. There are some people who have had way too many comebacks. Okay, so sex burning calories is definitely not the same or equivalent of like running a marathon or even going on a run. It's not that excessive. Some people think that, like, you know, it's like a 30-minute exercise, but during sex, your heart rate isn't elevated the entire time. So that's why it's not equivalent to like a workout. So just letting you all know.
One of many reasons. There's no explanation. We don't even need to explain why it's not a workout. That's just a dumb ass assumption for you to even compare.
Baby.
That was just stupid. That was very, very, very stupid. You know, I'm working on myself. That's not stupid. It's just misinformed. Okay. Yes. There is no, if you're weight training and having sex, then sure. But you must know that the elevated heart rate, in addition to the resistance, and in addition to keeping your heart rate in a certain zone for a certain amount of time, like, you must know that it's not the same as actually working out. You must know that.
Well, I don't know who knows that, but there's a couple of people who don't know that, okay? Because they really feel like they got their workout in. Just because you break a sweat does not mean it's giving that. Okay, so the next one I have is, okay, blue balls. We were just talking about balls. Blue balls, you know, is known to be caused by sexual arousal without orgasm, okay? That is an absolute myth, all right? And, you know, if you think that people with testicles actually get blue balls, okay, they would think that all they needed to do was have an orgasm and they wouldn't take anything else serious about their health. Like, that's not a thing, okay? So basically, you know, your fingertips, your lips, anything on your body can turn blue if you have decreased oxygen to that part of the body. Okay.
Are we talking about blue colored balls?
Yes, actual blue colored balls. Now let's get into the other part of it. Okay. Because blue balls is more of a saying than anything.
I've heard it like a saying, like
it's more of a saying, but let me tell you feeling, what that's saying.
I've never heard blue colored.
Well, let me tell you. The saying is actually built into sexual coercion, all right? Because that statement is kind of like when, you know, somebody will say, you know, you're giving me blue balls over here. That is their way of saying, like, you need to have sex with me. You need to help me get off. You need to help me rectify this situation, okay? So if somebody tells you that they have blue balls, this is not a literal thing. Okay. Now, if you need to let off some steam, definitely go somewhere, you know, and masturbate. That's your business. Okay. But it's not okay to use that statement to make people feel uncomfortable about choosing not to have sex with you.
What year are we in? Like, this, your list sounds like some 1950s shit. Like, to think that in the year that we're in, people are actually moving like this is great.
That's wild. Because I literally be like on the dating scene. I see, that's why I be in and out of the dating scene, because this shit is ridiculous. Like, people really are like this prehistoric. So yeah, blue balls, not a real thing. If your balls actually turn blue, you should go to the hospital, okay? But, you know, ladies, if some dude is telling you that I got blue balls and I really need you, that's none of your business, okay?
I didn't know that people use blue balls in the sense of like actual blue colored, like apnea balls. Like, that's Like, I would think, but I don't think that they should know, but I don't think anybody has. Well, if you have, we'll just say that. Like, I never heard it. I've heard the term blue balls a lot. Like, having an erection without a release, leading to some cramping and stuff like that because of the erection, whatever. That's what I've always heard it as, but I've never in my life once thought of anyone using that term as in my balls will actually turn blue. And I can't imagine a person having genitalia in part or whole changing color and not seeking medical. Blue? That's not okay. Like, blue?
Absolutely not. Bro. Well, this is more for people, for me, this is more for people who don't have balls, who really don't know. Like, you would be surprised how many people are out here having sex and have no idea about the genitalia that they're having sex with, or the person's genitalia that they're having sex with. Like, there are a lot of people who are just out here uninformed. So it's important for us to, you know, go through these things. Now, I know this is not us. This is why I put a disclaimer in the beginning, because I said this is not anything that I've ever believed. Okay. But these are things that are like, okay, these are pretty ridiculous. Let's stop the perpetuation of this, because I still hear, and it's a lot of, and this is why I was like, you can't subscribe to things like the Shade Room, because there are a lot, if you look at the comments under stuff like that, you will realize that a lot of people are really misinformed, and it's really ridiculous. Okay. This last one is like, vagina stretch out with use. Okay. Unless you're having a baby, and even when you have a baby, you know, they sew you up, the muscle is going to contract. It's going to snap back. Okay. So if you hear people saying stuff like, oh, she's stretched out, like stuff like that's actually not a real thing. It's a muscle. Okay. They stretch and they contract. All right. So when something is inserted into the vagina, when things come out like a human baby, it can stretch. Okay. They don't necessarily lose their elasticity. Okay. But elasticity can change over time with age, with estrogen levels decreasing, which causes the vaginal tissue to get thinner or drier or something like that. Okay. But this applies to every muscle in your body. All right. All the muscles in our bodies can change over time. All right. So I just wanted to note that a vagina stretching out from somebody who's bigger, or that's not a thing. Okay. It's just not a thing. So I'm going to cut it right there. There are a couple more, but I just feel like y'all really need, like, did y'all skip sex education? A lot of people did. But this might not be people who are listening, but there are a lot of uninformed people out there, and sex is something that a lot of us do. I wouldn't say all of us, but a lot of us do. And so just like anything else you do, just like you take a driver's test before you get a license and before you're able to drive, you should definitely educate yourself on not only, you know, the newest research and developments that are coming out about sex, because it's constantly changing. Okay. But also, we have to stop perpetuating a lot of these things, even if we mean them as jokes, like blue balls and, you know, our vagina walls are stretched out and stuff like that. We got to stop saying shit like that. And this is what this is more about. Okay. Because that stuff gets perpetuated in jokes. And then people who are uninformed, like kids, young kids, people who are just being introduced to, you know, sexual activity, will perpetuate these things without even knowing. Okay. So y'all just be real careful about the things that you say. And I'm going to keep it there. That is our Red Light District for today. And that's our show for today. You have any final thoughts, Rob?
I'm mad. Fucking mad. This episode was fun, but again, please think for yourselves out there. Please do your own research. Please don't be believing stuff just because you hear it. But Shannon, you're right. Like, we got to really check ourselves in terms of the certain types of conversations that we're having and pushing forward into spaces when there are people in company looking to learn or that don't know about certain things. But yeah, I'm good on that.
I'm dead.
Blue color genitalia, fam. What the fuck? Like, why is that even? Who And who's believing this shit?
Well, I like, guess it's what? More it's more like who came up with the saying blue balls in the first place, right? So it kind of goes back to that. It was rooted in, you know, I think sexual coercion, because that's not really a thing. You know what I'm saying?
And it's so also, it sounds like it's also a lot of, when it comes to these, a lot of these sex myths have a lot to do with shaming women's
bodies. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm sure you saw a theme there. I'm sure you saw a theme there. There was another one that I didn't get into about a broken hymen and what that means. But it's a lot of sex myths, and they're mostly having to do, like you said, with shaming a woman's body, shaming a woman's sexual activity, or lack thereof. And it's we gotta stop doing that.
That's so corny. Like
as hell.
2023, that's so corny, but.
But as we continue, as we move forward, you already know that there are people always constantly trying to pull us back. So remember that. It's a constant struggle, you all.
Sad.
But yeah. You know, we're gonna see you all on the next episode. Please enjoy your July 4th, whether you believe it is a holiday or just a day off. And in the meantime, you can find us on our Instagram page, The Bridge Millennial Podcast. All right. You can find me at IAM Shannon, S-H-A-N-N-O-N, Ashlia, A-S-H-L-I-A. I am Shannon Ashlia on Instagram. That's where I be. That's where I stay. That's where I reside. You can find Rob at Robert St. Michael. Saint is spelled out S-A-I-N-T. Michael, okay, on Instagram. And check out his podcast, The Group Sessions. All right. Holla back, y'all.